It took Jesus 6 hours to complete, and it's the key to over 2,100 years of forgiveness. The journey from the garden to the cross is a journey not for the weak of heart, nor for the selfish believer, but only for those that can accept the mission, embrace the agony, and only for those who are committed to completing the task. In order to fully understand this moment and to capture its meaning and power for our lives, we first have to see it in the full picture of the cross. We've been looking at various scenes. And this time the scene is described as between the sixth and the ninth hours. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The time of day that should be the brightest part of the day. And yet, the scripture tells us it's the darkness that has settled on the land. Now get this picture in your mind. At 9 a.m., Jesus is nailed to the cross. Over the next 3 hours, from 9 to noon, Jesus utters these powerful first three words, these powerful life-changing statements to others, or to God on behalf of others. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Today, you will be with me in paradise, he said to the crooks on the cross. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother, he said to the one who birthed him, nourished him, ultimately the one to whom he put them in a relationship. He said, you represent the church because you care for one another in a very special way. However, at noon, several things happen that reveal why this moment in eternity is so potent. There is silence across the land. The silence is eerie. There are no murmuring crowds, no tears, no birds are chirping, no dogs are running back and forth barking. It's just a heavy quiet, a quiet that seems to make some very nervous. And as the darkness envelops this area, there's a chill in the air. And that might be the reason that the crowd left. The soldiers, however, could not leave, and they're very nervous. See, this should be the brightest time of the day, and yet darkness is all around. As we gaze at the cross, however, we see a trickle of blood streaming from the crown of thorns that are jammed onto the head of Jesus. For 3 hours, nothing is said. Just total silence. Jesus is silent. Even the crooks on the crosses beside him are silent. And it's a strange kind of silence, a supernatural kind of silence. It's a silence that is so loud, it's so quiet that you can actually hear it. It's a kind of silence that has a language that speaks for itself. Okay. The silence is deep. It's a silence so deep in meaning that the world stands in awe of what the Creator is about to do. For they know something is about to happen. It is a silence that knows something profound is about to happen. It's like the silence that comes just before the eruption of a volcano. The silence before a tornado. That silence that happens before an earthquake. And it was in this silence that Jesus pushes himself up against the nails. And with great anguish, he cries out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a mysterious question. And volumes have been dedicated to revealing the meaning. It's a mysterious question. If Jesus is God, and if God is Jesus, surely Jesus knows the answer. So why is he asking the question? Jesus did not cry out these words at the beginning of his crucifixion, because to have done so at that moment would have been seen as a cry to be delivered by the Father from the cross. And Jesus knew that was not the purpose of God. So the timing of this question is both prophetic and perfect. So how do we understand this cry? Was it the cry of a man who had become delirious? Well, after all, he'd been hanging in agony for 6 hours in the blazing sun. The blood and the life forces draining from his body, with nails holding him to the cross. Wounds from the previous beatings and whippings still causing tentacles of pain to radiate throughout his body. You see, you have to remember that this form of execution was a form of torture.
Yes, sir.
It was not designed to be either quick or humane.
Yeah.
But I don't think these words were the words of a delirious man because he spoke more words.
Yeah.
Could it be the cry of rejection or the pain of rejection? Perhaps he wondered, how could the same God who inspired the prodigal son to come back to the father, how did the same God reject his own son? Could it be the cry of devotion? Let us remember the first time we heard these words. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest. That's the first time these words were recorded, and recorded long before this matter of execution, this crucifixion was even designed. He was not despised, because in the rest of the same Psalm 24, we find these words. Verse 24 says, for he was not despised or scoffed, the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Could it be then the cry of loneliness? Could it be the words of a man who feels that he's been deserted by God? Here is a man who has taken off his divinity for our sake. Here is a man in a full display of humanity. This perfect man has become just like you and me.
Yeah.
We might see him as a child in the dark crying out, Daddy, it's dark and I'm afraid. Where are you, Daddy?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Daddy, are you there? And the response to this child is ultimate silence. He's crying to the vast darkness. It's just a hope, or at least a glimmer of light, and yet he hears nothing. But while on the cross, Jesus cried out to a God whose grace is sufficient. Jesus cried out to a God whose peace surpasses all understanding. And while on the cross, Jesus cried out to a God who is greater than our circumstances.
Yeah.
Why the cry? Well, there are some things that only God can do. This was truly a I need you, God moment. Why the cry? Well, I know some reasons or some things that the cry was not. The cry was not because of the agony of the cross. The cry was not for the betrayal near the mountain. The cry was not for the trials in the city. The cry was not for the denial in the camp. The cry was not for the 39 whiplashes on his back. The cry was not for the crown of thorns pressed into his skull. Nor was the cry for the nails driven into his hands and feet. The cry was not for the sword thrust into his side. The cry was not because he was abandoned by his most trusted friends. The cry was not for the insults hurled during his dying moments. So you may ask, why the cry? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
What was the cry? This cry that transcended space was immediately delivered at the altar of the Father. This cry that transcended time has impacted generations for more than 21 generations, 2,000 years. This cry that transcends the most advanced medicines is capable of healing the sick, raising the dead, making the lame walk, causing the blind to see. This cry that transcends every type of hatred redefines the entire meaning of the word love. This Golgotha cry is a cry that is filled with forgiveness, mercy, and eternal life.
Yeah.
Why the cry? The cry that turned day into night. The cry that caused a Roman soldier to believe. The cry that stopped God in his tracks.
Yeah.
The Golgotha cry is a cry that made its way for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he promised that the Spirit of truth would remain for our comfort. But still you may ask, why the cry? Why the cry? Is it because at that moment Jesus separated himself from divinity for humanity?
Yes,
for the world and the non-believer, these words. words appear to be haunting and mysterious. But for the believer, these words reveal the greatness of God's love and mercy. These words reveal the endless depth of God's love for us.
Yes, sir.
How I wish when I read these words, at least one word here would be different.
Yeah.
How much better it would sound to my ears if the word forsaken would be translated into challenged. My God, why have you challenged me? I like the sound of that better. Because Jesus at this point did more than become one of us. He now had become all of our mistakes.
Yes, sir.
Jesus in essence took on all the sin that had been, that was, and that was to come. He took on in his body, his innocent body, the sin to cleanse us, to give us a right standing with God, and to heal us. Jesus allowed everything that makes us fall short of God's perfect will to be taken to this cross. His question could be interpreted, Daddy, where are you? I can't hear you. Why have you challenged me so? Look carefully at these words. Jesus himself, for the first time in his life, had become separated from his Father, from God. Three times he spoke for the welfare of others. But this time, his question is about him. He feels separated from his divinity.
Yes.
Have you ever lost in your humanity? Have you ever felt that you've lost God's presence and wondered where he went? I think if we are honest, there might be some who have. Daddy, where are you? Might be the sound or the cry of a child abandoned and alone who wants nothing more to be hugged and reassured. Daddy, are you there? Might be the words falling from the lips of a divorced one whose dreams and hopes have been shattered by someone else, who may be suffered from abuse, who suffered from unfaithfulness. Where are you, God, is a question from the widow or the widower who yearns for companionship, sitting by the phone that doesn't ring, daily going to the mailbox, hoping for the letter that does not come. Daddy, where are you is the question of the one who sees the sheriff walking slowly to the door only to announce that that one they love did not survive the automobile accident. Where are you, Lord, might be the cry of that person who sees the uniformed personnel walking up the driveway with the chaplain. To give the words that the one that they love didn't survive the ambush in what was supposed to be the safe zone.
Yes.
Where are you, God, is the question of the child who has parents that don't parent.
Yes.
The cry of those who are married in ceremony only.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, where were you when the doctor says those words we read hearing? Malignant. Incurable.
Yes.
Not operable.
Yes.
And when that preacher or that chaplain comes and says, let us pray, the feeling that we have when we say, it's all right. We don't need to pray. Because God is out to lunch, and I don't think he's coming back. In the third word, God went from humanity to divinity, and now in this fourth word, he goes from divinity to humanity.
Yeah.
Now we need to understand something. In those challenging situations, when we feel all alone, God is not gone. But what happens to us is that we have fallen from faith in the Word of God. Because the Bible says that God will never leave us.
Yeah.
He says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee.
Yeah.
In Hebrews.
Man.
But in the case of Jesus, and in our case, it is the sin that surrounds us, the doubt that envelops us, the fear that takes over us, that causes us to no longer feel the presence of the one who is there all the time. Jesus was separated by the sin that had been drawn to him. Our sin drawn to him like metal to a magnet. Are you today in a situation that seems impossible? And you keep crying out, Daddy, where are you? And it seems that he doesn't hear you, that he's forgotten all about you. Have you been disappointed by loved ones, discouraged by friends, pushed aside by those who you consider close? Jesus knows what it feels like to be separated, abandoned in a way that's deeper than anything we could ever have to go through.
Yes, sir.
He who had perfect fellowship with God felt abandoned, dying, stripped, beaten. But even in this, there is a reason to rejoice.
Yes.
There is a celebration in this moment of desperation. Jesus took all those things, pain, agony, verbal and physical abuse, rejection, dejection, and separation, so that we may be healed.
Yeah.
He bore our griefs and sorrow, our pain and stress, our afflictions, physical, spiritual, emotional. Jesus understands what it means to feel abandoned or forsaken by someone you love. He knows what it means to lose something or someone close.
Yeah.
He knows what it means to cry out to God and not hear an answer.
Yeah.
We truly have a Savior who understands what we feel. Jesus understands perfectly what you're going through.
Amen.
You see, it's Friday, and we may have some Fridays in our life.
Yeah.
But always keep in mind that Sunday's coming.
Amen.
He, though completely innocent, was tempted, hurt, and abandoned exactly the same way we are. In fact, in a deeper way than any of us could really truly claim, as none of us is without sin as he was.
Yeah.
We can celebrate the fact that even in the moments when we can't feel God, he's there all the time. Because of the death of Jesus, our disconnection notice was nullified. The phone is back on, and there is an answer when we call out, Daddy, can you hear me now? And when we feel all hope is gone and want to yell out, Daddy, where you at? Simply stop and think about the cross and how Jesus kept the date. And his agony of separation has guaranteed the saints of God total connection.
Yep.
So we don't have to ask Daddy where you at. Can you hear me now? Because we know he is right here with us.
Yeah.
The cry of can you hear me now is answered. Yes, he hears us.
Yeah.
His cry of being forsaken were not his last words, which would have meant total defeat and hopelessness for all of us. No, his cry came at this divine moment because this was the most important moment of eternity. It was for this moment that he came into the world.
Yeah.
It was for this moment that he chose to lay down his life. It was at this moment that Jesus Christ physically and spiritually became the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
Jesus at this point did more than become one of us. He had now become all of our mistakes,
yeah.
All of our sins. Jesus in essence took on all the sin that had been, that was, and that was to come. In his own innocent body, he took the sin to cleanse us, to give us a right standing with God, and to heal us. Jesus allowed everything that makes us fall short of God's perfection to be taken to the cross. These words reveal the great cost and sacrifice that was paid for our salvation.
Yeah.
These words reveal the divine purpose God has for your life and for the world. And I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will hear these words and that these words will inspire you to open your heart to the great love that God has for you. Jesus paid the price for our sins here at this moment. And he sealed the deal with his death and resurrection.
Yeah.
Without this moment, there would be no salvation.
Hallelujah.
Without this moment, there would be no forgiveness of sin. This moment, this agony cry reveals the depth of love that Jesus Christ has for you. This moment reveals how far God is willing to reach to do for you and those of his kingdom. Most importantly, this moment revealed the divine purpose of God for you, for me. That the purpose for us is to spend eternity in God's glorious kingdom.
Amen.
So in closing, what does this mean for your life? Well, first, there's a message here for every non-believer. And by non-believer, I mean you have never chosen to believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life. You may believe he existed. But you don't believe that he is the Son of God who died for your sins. And you don't believe he's the only way of salvation. There are a lot of things I can say about this. But there is one answer that describes it best. John described it in the 3rd chapter. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. God's love for you is greater than anything you can imagine. Any sin that you have or could commit. Jesus Christ loves you so deeply that he willingly allowed himself to endure the cross and to suffer the pain of the cross so that you can know forgiveness of sin and the eternal joy of salvation. The simple message for you is that the cross is the only way of salvation. The simple message for the non-believer is that God loves you and wants you to know forgiveness for your sin. Secondly, the message speaks to every believer. Jesus allowed himself to be separated from the presence of God so that we would never have to experience that moment. Because Jesus endured this horrific moment on the cross, he made it possible for everybody who believed in him to not have to experience this kind of agony. He says in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, no things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, amen, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Hallelujah.
As believers in Christ, let's give him glory and praise and thanks for making this promise possible.
Yeah.
And he made it possible because of what he endured at that cross.
Yeah.
Because of what he did at the cross, we have eternal life. And we have the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. God was silent on Friday, but God broke the silence on Sunday. The empty tomb is our assurance that even when we can't see him or feel him or hear him, our faith lets us know he is near, and that the ultimate victory is not only promised but has been delivered. In my time of despair, when I have my "Daddy, can you hear me?" moments, I come to know that Daddy's response is, "Yeah, beloved." And I wrote it down for you in Hebrews. I said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." There's not quiet. He's given us his answer. He hears us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this tremendous sacrifice that you have made for our well-being. For those of us who've come to know you in personal and real ways, who've dedicated ourselves to being those who believe in you as our Savior. And even for those who are resistant, those who do not know you, pray God that we would have a voice in helping them to find you, to know the meaning of this sacrifice that you've made, to know the love and the joy of being in your presence.
Hallelujah.
And for knowing that even in our darkest moments, even in our times of despair, when all around us people have left us and abandoned us, that you've not forsaken us. It's quiet, but you will respond because we know that you love us. Else why would you do what you've done? Pray, Father God, that as we go forth, we'll have the opportunity this week to tell somebody about Jesus and what he's done.